Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So good to be in the house of the Lord this morning with you. Thank you, Pastor Randy, for inviting me. It feels like I'm home here. We have Matt and Christine Stewart. Used to attend Lighthouse Community Worship Center in East Lyme, and they are dear, dear friends of me and my family. So it's so good to be back in the house of the Lord with you. Reuben, it's good to see you. All that sucking up won't count. Makes me feel a little good, but no. And Kara, it's good to see you as well. We're proud of you attending school and worshiping the Lord. And we have our librarian here from Zion. I only traveled 20 minutes this morning, but it feels like, yeah, I belong. So thank you. I tell you what, there is just a passion in my heart for the Lord. I don't know how to explain it. I don't know how people do it. I don't know. All I know is there is something on the inside of me that when I feel His presence, I just want to jump, shout, rejoice, and proclaim that He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords with everything that is within me. That's all I know. I mean, really, the letters before your name, the letters after your name, the numbers before your name, the numbers after your name, it doesn't matter. When you stand before Him, He's not going to be impressed with your credentials. And He's going to say one thing, well done. Not much done, well done. That's what I'm looking for. Even the crown that He puts on your head, you're going to take it off and place it at His feet and worship Him over and over again, because He is the one who's to be adored. And it starts today. It starts today. It starts with a decision. Turn with me in the book of James. I love the book of James, and I love the book of Proverbs as well. And I call the book of James the Proverbs of the New Testament. That's sort of, I read that somewhere, and I said I like that. So I like it. It's the Proverbs of the New Testament because it's a real in-your-face type of a book. I appreciate that. I'm not really a good person with innuendo. I'm not really a good person with allegory. I'm just not. The second most sold book in all the world is Pilgrim's Progress. The Bible's the first. The second book is Pilgrim's Progress. It is full of allegory. I don't like that book at all. I have no sense of it. Just tell me. Just be straight with me. All this, you know, backpack stuff and all the other stuff. I'm not so much for me. Other people, well, most everyone else, they love it. I'm not a big fan of it, but that's okay. The book of James. James is the brother of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He writes a very direct book, just like the book of Proverbs. Men, if you can hear me this morning, let me give you a word of advice. Every morning, before you do anything else, get up, grab yourself a chapter in the book of Proverbs, and start reading it. And you know what? Start memorizing it as well. Let it be a part of your life. Every man seeks wisdom, seeks knowledge, seeks understanding, and the way to get it is through reading the Bible, and specifically the book of Proverbs. It tells you to honor wisdom, to honor these things, to go after these things because they're more precious than gold, rubies, or silver. Get the book of Proverbs. Let that book speak into your life. So James, for me, is like the Proverbs of the New Testament. I want to talk to you this morning about the heart. The heart, the heart. The book of Proverbs says, above all things, above everything. Above everything, guard your heart. I want to talk to you about the heart. We're going to start reading in James chapter 1, and we're going to go all the way down to verse 8. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any one of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. The man who prays, who asks, he must believe. Verse 6 says, but when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave in the sea. James goes and he says, you know what, not only when this person prays is he a little double-minded, but also his double-mindedness doesn't only affect his prayer closet, but it affects, according to verse 8, he's double-minded, unstable in all he does. Let me give you some background to the book of James. James is writing this book to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations. He's writing it to believing Jewish Christians. The believing Christians were scattered after Stephen over in the book of Acts, in Acts 8. After Stephen was stoned to death, there was a great persecution that broke amongst the Christian believers. They were scattered. He's writing to the believing Jews in James 2, chapter 1. He says, my brothers, as believers. So he's writing to the church. He's writing to Christians. And James was a leader in the Christian church. So he's not writing as a parishioner. He's not writing as a doorkeeper. He's not writing as any of those things. He's writing as a leader, speaking to the church with authority. And he says, consider it pure joy. There are two responses to trials that has to do with the heart. And everything has to do with your heart. Amen? Let me try it over here. Everything in life has to do with your heart. Amen? Amen? It's always a matter of the heart. Good things happen to you, you have good responses. Bad things happen to you, what's your response? It's really a matter of your heart. The first response to consider all trials with joy. Now that one hurts, right? Consider all trials with joy. Can you imagine the audacity that James has in writing this letter? I mean, you talk about the audacity to write that. Consider it pure joy. He's writing this to basically the underground church. And he's telling the persecuted to be joyous. The first response is to consider it joy, which will bring you life. Consider it pure joy. Why consider it joy? Look at this. Because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. And perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete and not lacking anything. The first response in trials should be joy. Why? Because God is working in your life, and He's bringing about a perseverance. He's bringing about a maturity that otherwise wouldn't be there if you didn't have it. It's like Christian sandpaper. The sandpaper is rough, but the results of what it's used is a smooth surface. I'm getting ready to get some of that sandpaper and go sand some floors. I'm not considering that all joy, but I'm happy with the result. And I'm wondering if my buddy Matt would like to come along with me, and he has experience, and I won't put him on the spot to say yes or anything like that. Sandpaper. Consider it pure joy. The trial and the testing of your faith. It has to do with your heart, and your response should be one of joy. And it needs to be a settled response in the sense of, you know what? This thing that's going on in my life is not going to move me. It's not going to shake my faith in any way. My response in all trials is always a settled response. And by settled, I mean this. I'm not moving. I refuse to move. I will not be shaken off of the rock, which is Christ Jesus. I will not move. I cannot move. I will not let my mind even think that moving away from Him is a possibility. Are you getting what I'm saying? It is a settled response. Now the taking the trials with the pure joy, that's a tough one, but I got to get over that one. How many know that when you give your life to God, it's His? You've handed over the rights, right? You've sort of said, you know what? I've made a mess of this. Here it is. And beauty comes out of ashes, does it not? The oil of joy flows from your life. Beauty comes from that. I've settled it in my heart that my response to all trials and situations is this. No matter what it is I'm going through, I will not let You go. Bring it on. I'm not letting go. And I'm telling you time and again, I have been tested. And just the very fact that I'm saying this knows that there's probably something coming my way that I don't even know. But I don't even care. I've resolved it in my heart that I'm not moving. You've got to resolve it in your heart. Consider it pure joy. The testing of your... How many wants to be a baby for the rest of your life? Good, I don't see any hands. So that means you all want to be mature in Christ, right? Part of your maturity is dealing and handling successfully trials that come your way. That is maturity. And one of the ways to handle it is settle it in your heart right now. I'm not moving. I don't care what my brother says. I don't care what my sister says. I don't care what my mother says. I will not move. I have put all my eggs in one basket. I choose to follow the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I have placed my affection on one person, and His name is Jesus Christ, and I will live for Him all the days of my life. That is settled. Consider it pure joy. I've settled that part of my life. And let me tell you, I have had to remind myself. I was out in Springfield, Missouri. I moved halfway across the country. I moved from Zion Bible College up in Barrington, Rhode Island, to Springfield, Missouri. I so planned the event, I had no idea I was even moving to a different time zone. I don't even know where it happened. All I know is it was all wrong by an hour. And I asked the lady at the hotel, I said, what's going on here? What time is it? And she said, it's this time. I said, really? What happened to the hour? She goes, it's Central Time. I said, oh, okay, great. Life's exciting without a watch, I guess. I moved halfway across the country. I didn't have a place to live. The Assemblies of God Theological Seminary said this: just move out here, you'll find a spot. And I said, okay. I didn't know it worked that way, but okay. So I called a buddy. I said, hey, can I crash for a few days with my U-Haul and my car and all that stuff? And I crashed on the couch. And for a day, I looked for apartments, and I found a spot. Boom. And then a few days later, I found a job. I don't know how it happened, but it happened. And then a few days later, I lost my job. And then you find things, you lose things, right? I'll never forget the morning I woke up and I went to my couch out in the living room and I started praying and said, Lord, I need you. I mean, I need you bad. I mean, you've seen my bank account. I need you, gosh. He said nothing. And I heard the voice of the enemy of my soul. He came in. How many of the... There is a real devil. There is a real devil. It's not fake, okay? There is a real devil, and he hates your guts. And he wants to destroy you. And he'll take cheap shots. Because that's what he does. I'm sitting there, I'm praying, and I'm telling you, as I am standing right here, this is what he said. Just leave. Leave them. It's too hard. Leave them. I stood up and I said, I am not leaving. God has called me here. I will not leave my wife. I will not leave my child. I will not take one step back. I will not. Because it's settled in my heart, I will follow him. And it will be tested. You're going to be tested. You will be tested in that department in your life. Are you going to leave? Jesus had thousands of people leave him. He turns to his disciples. And with all humanity, he says, are you going to leave too? And he was serious. He says, are you going to leave too? And Peter says, where else are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life. Where else can we go? Got to settle it. Lord gave me a dream a few years back, and I was standing in front of a fireplace. And there was a mantle right there, and there was a clock on the mantle, and I saw time, and the Lord spoke to me. He said, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. I said, I know, Lord, that's in your word. I know that, Lord. And he said, I will pour my spirit out on all flesh, and then the end shall come. I said, I know, Lord. And I woke up and I started worshiping and I started praying. And that was a God moment in my life. And there is coming to this country. There is coming to this nation. There is coming to this world a great falling away because they have not settled this part in their life. Though none will follow, I'm going to follow. They haven't settled the first step in their life. There is coming a great shaking. There is coming a rumbling. There is coming there is coming a counter revival. There is coming counter signs and wonders. There is coming fakeness, false lies, and everything that is not built on the rock that is called Christ Jesus. Everyone who hasn't truly given their heart to the Lord, everyone who doesn't have that heartbeat pounding for God, everyone who has not made a decision for the Lord Jesus Christ will fall and will shake under that. You've got to resolve it in your life. If you have not given your heart to the Lord, if you're playing with God, He doesn't play games. You want to play with God? He'll allow it for a season, and then He'll call it. Though none go with me, I will follow Him. It's settled in my heart. Is it settled in your heart? Consider it pure joy. I'm responding to the trials in my life with joy. Why? Because, yes, there was persecutions in Acts. Turn with me to Acts chapter 1, verses 8. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. It's page 961 in my Bible. Let me read it to you. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Acts 1:8. Ready? Let's go to Acts chapter 8, verse 1. Acts chapter 8, verse 1. My response to the Lord's trials in life is with joy. Acts chapter 8, verse 1. And Saul was there giving approval to the death. He stoned Stephen. And on that day, great persecution broke out against the church at Jerusalem. And all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. You can put an asterisk next to that verse. Put an asterisk next to Acts 1:8. Those two are tied together. Jesus said you're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. He said you're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. All of a sudden, persecution came, and they are His witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and all of Samaria. You think that caught God by chance? Not by chance. The trials in your life are not by chance. He knows times and seasons, and He holds it in His hands. And He allows things to come into your life, and there's nothing that comes by surprise. He says in Acts 1:8, I'll pour out my Spirit, and you're going to be my witness. Acts 8, chapter 1, they were His witnesses, not the way they thought they were going to be. My response is joy to the trials, because He brings maturity in my life because of it. My response is, God knows what He's doing. Those who have been scattered in Acts chapter 8, verse 1, preached the word wherever they went, and the kingdom of God was advanced through adversity. And that's the point, that the kingdom of God is advancing through your adversity. Others see what you're going through. They know what you're going through. They know. Are you kidding me? You went to church this Sunday morning. They know. Your neighbors know where you're at. Abraham. Genesis chapter 12. God calls Abraham. And He gives him the stars. And He says, your descendants are going to be like the stars. In Genesis chapter 15, God says that Abraham's people will suffer 400 years of slavery. How many like to hear that word from the Lord? And it happened. The people of God went down to Egypt, and there arose a Pharaoh who didn't know Joseph. And for 400 years, God's people were in slavery. But the Bible says God rose up a man called Moses, and he redeemed His people through the power of God. And the Bible says that God's people were favorably disposed amongst the people. You know what that means? That means the word of God spread. Favorably disposed. The people of Egypt favorably, blessed them, and sent them out. God knows what He's doing. Jesus, in the fullness of time, the Bible says, God sent His Son into the world, not to condemn the world, but to save the world. God knows what He's doing. He knows how to rise empires. He knows how to take empires down. He knows times and seasons. And His word to you today is, consider it pure joy. If you have given your life to God, it's not in the hands of the devil. The devil's not in charge of your life. Get that thought out of your mind. That is not from God. You handed your life over to God. He holds your life. You are called to be His witnesses. Amen? Called to be His witness. That means you're called to be His witness wherever people are at. How many remember that show, The Honeymooners? Jackie Gleason, Art Carney, Audrey Meadows. Who's the other one? Joyce, somebody? No, there are four. Three out of four. That's not bad. One of these schemes, you know, Jackie Gleason, he's, you know, one of these quick get-rich schemes. And I'm preaching to the older crowd right now. You young kids, you have no idea what this is. But Ralph Cramden wanted to get rich quick. And Ed Norton worked in the sewer. Ralph Cramden drove bus. Remember that, right? All right, Ed Norton worked in the sewer, and Ralph had one of these million-dollar ideas, and he was going places, and he was doing this. And Ed Norton gave him the best advice that one could give. He says, Ralph, be nice to the people you see them on the way up, because you're probably going to meet them on the way down. Trials. Whether you're on the way up, whether you're on the way down, let's be a witness for God. Amen? Come on, church. That's the power of God. God's joy flowing through your heart, whether you're on the way up, whether you're on the way down, whether you got lots, whether you got little. It doesn't matter. Let God's joy rush through your bodies. Amen? Let His joy come forth. Let's be a witness. God wants you to be attractive to the world so that He can draw men unto Himself, not to yourself. It's not your kingdom. It's His kingdom. Amen? Let's be the witnesses that God has called us to be. The first response to these trials is to have joy. The second response that people have is a divided heart. Listen to this again. Listen to this. James is saying, but when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea. I live down in Niantic. We don't have waves. We have stuff that, you know, boats produce, and little kids call it waves. It's not waves. But one thing about the ocean, you can't trust a wave. And don't turn your back on the waves. You get knocked over, right? You can't trust waves. They're unpredictable. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man, the doubter, should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. That word, double-minded man, literally means double-souled. You've got two souls. You've got two hearts. You've got a heart that believes and a heart that doesn't believe. That man, the vacillator, the flip-flopper, that man is not getting their prayers answered, because they haven't settled the first point. I will follow. The second response is a divided heart. That man does not go through trials with the understanding that God has already seen the beginning of the trial, he's seen the middle of the trial, and he's seen the end of the trial. They think God is out to get them. Not true. God is trying to perfect them and bring you to maturity, but some people don't want to grow up. They want to keep the baby rattle close. That man, the person with the divided heart, does not get his prayers answered. That man is unstable, not only in his prayer closet, but in everything he does, not just in prayer. That man is deceived. James chapter 1, verses 22. You're in the same chapter, right? You ready for this? James chapter 1, verse 22, it says, "Do not merely listen to the word of God and so deceive yourself. Do what it says." Don't listen to the word of God only. Do what it says. Listening only to the word of God and not adding your obedience to it equals deception. You're deceived if you're not living in obedience to Christ. I don't care if your dad is the pastor of this church. If you are living in disobedience to God, you're in deception. I love the book of James. It's right there. Don't get mad at me. Deceived. A person who is double-minded, double-souled. It doesn't work out. It will never work out. Jesus doesn't want you double-souled. He wants you sold out for him with everything that is within you. Not double-souled. James 1, do not merely listen to the word of God and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. Let me show you how this plays out. You ready? Turn with me to Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. Double-souled. Listening to the word, but not adding obedience to it. Let me walk this out for you in this parable. Luke chapter 14, starting in verse 15. When one of those at the table heard this, he said to Jesus, "Blessed is the man who will eat at the feast in the kingdom." Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, 'I have just bought a field, and I must go and see it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I just bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me.' Still another said, 'I just got married, so I can't come.' The servant came back and reported this to the master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, 'Go and quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' 'Sir,' the servant said, 'what you have ordered has been done, but there is still room.' Then the master told the servant, 'Go out to the roads and the country lanes and make them come in so that my house may be full. I tell you, not one of those men who were invited will get a taste of my banquet.'" These men heard the word. They heard the call of God, and they did not add obedience to it. And let's see what was more important than the kingdom of God. Are you ready? They all began to make excuses. The first said, "I just bought a field." Let me ask you, is there anything wrong with buying land? Is there anything sinful about buying land? Nothing. The second one said, "I just bought 5 yoke of oxen." Is there anything wrong with buying farm equipment for the land? Anything wrong with buying a car? Anything sinful about having a motorcycle? I'm just kidding. That was for Matt. I've got to get my wife on board on that one. We got to go riding together. Just bought 5-yoke of oxen. There's nothing sinful about that, right? Still another one said, I just got married, so I can't come. Nothing sinful or wrong about getting married, right? This is what Jesus said. I tell you, not one of those who are invited will get a taste of my banquet. Why? Because a field, farm equipment, and marriage became more important than the call and the word of God in their life. And they missed their eternal destiny with God because of it. If that's not deceived, I don't know what is. I can serve God and do my own thing. Oh, no, you can't. Perhaps for a season. You mean to tell me that I got to do everything that God says? Yes. Unless you want to live your life deceived and have your number called. And the very thing that God gave to bless your life becomes the very thing that causes your damnation. You see how that works? God's not calling you to that. He's calling you to be in a life with Him where it's love, joy, peace in the Holy Spirit. Everywhere I turn, I look this way, I look that way. And you know what I see? I see goodness and mercy from a loving God who wants to pour out goodness in His children's life. That's what I see. I also see that when God pours out His love and His life and He starts blessing His people, that at times it becomes a point of contention. Some people can't handle it, and the very blessing that God gave for your life becomes more important than God Himself. And it drowns out the voice of God in your heart. Response to trials, responses to the call of God, is not a response of a divided heart. God is calling us this morning to have an undivided heart, a heart that is wholly, 100% devoted and sold out to Him. He is giving us His Holy Spirit so that we can live a Spirit-empowered life and respond to Him through grace and mercy, and to live that life consider it pure joy, because I know the things that God has placed in my life. Really, if my heart's right, it's for me to be mature. That's my response. It's for maturity. And I choose to grow up. I really do. I mean, I like to have fun like the rest of everybody. But I choose. God wants to bring you into His depths. And you're holding on to this side. You're holding on to this side. You don't quite know where He wants to bring you. He wants to bring you deep in Him so you hear His still, small voice. He wants to speak to you intimately and dearly. He wants you to know Him on a personal level. Let go of the temporal. Let go of the little stuff. Let go of the things that so easily beset you. The Olympics are coming. We're going to see divers. We're going to see swimmers. We're going to see track stars. We're going to see people trying to break world records. These people on the track, They're not wearing weights on their ankles or on their arms and running. No, they are wearing as much as possible. They're probably shaving everything they could possibly shave to get as fast as they possibly can hit that finish line without resistance. God is calling us to shake free of everything that would so easily beset us. He's calling for wholehearted worship. I'm telling you, there is a depth in God that He wants to bring you if you would simply come. God loves you. He wants you to know Him personally. He gave His life for you. I don't know if you've ever made a decision for Him today, but He's already decided He loves you. I don't know if you ever responded to Him in love and said, Lord, I want You to be the Lord of my life. That's what God wants. He wants you to respond to Him and for you to be His son and daughter. That's the response that He wants. Not a double heart. He doesn't want you to try it out. He wants you to dive right in into the bountiful mercies and wonders that He has for your life. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 4, verses 1. 1 Timothy 4, verses 1. Listen to this. Reuben, you'll hear this again in pastoral epistles. 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. The Spirit clearly says that in the latter times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. The Bible says in the latter days, there are going to be doctrines of demons and deceiving spirits that are out there to try to take you out of the hand of God. This is where the point of the sermon gets very directed. And I'm asking for your 100% honesty between yourself and God. You think we can do that for the next few moments? I want you to be free in the Lord. How many want to be free in Christ? I mean, you want freedom. I want to be free, free, free. I want you to be free in the Lord. In order for freedom to reign in your life, you cannot give entry points to the devil. The devil cannot possess your life. You're a child of God. But there are entry points that when you live in disobedience and deception, that part of your life is fair game. And you've got to claim it. I want to read these things. If these things are in your heart, I'd like you to come to this altar. We're going to have the elders here pray. We're going to have the musicians come back. But these are real things. Let's get rid of these things. You ready? Ways in which you can be deceived by the world. If these things are in your heart, there is deception there, and we've got to renounce this stuff. Are you ready? Believing that acquiring money and things will bring lasting happiness in your life. That is a doctrine of the devil. That is the devil. It will not bring you happiness. Only God brings true happiness in your life. You ready? Ways you can be deceived by the world. Believing that alcohol, drugs, gambling, food can relieve your stress and make you happy. It is a lie. Believing that you need more than what God has given you in Christ. That is a lie from the pit of hell. Believing that you can read, see, or listen to anything and not let it corrupt your soul. That is a lie. And it does affect you. Believing that you must measure up to a certain standard in order to feel good about yourself. That's a lie. God loves you. And He's made you in His image. and thus he sees you as valuable. The world would like you to be deceived in those ways. And the devil comes oh so subtly, and he puts those thoughts in your mind. And you know what happens? You start to put actions to those. It's deception. Let's kill it this morning. Amen? Ways you deceive yourself. Hearing God's word and not doing what it says. The book of Proverbs says, "He who remains stiff-necked after many rebukes will be destroyed, and that without remedy." Number two, thinking that you can live your life without the help of anyone else. That's pride. The hand cannot say to the foot, "I don't need you." Isn't that what the Bible says? I don't need anybody. I'm self-sufficient, self-reliant, self-made. Self. Yeah, you're full of yourself, all right. You're needed in the body of Christ. Anything less than that is a lie. God's empowered you. I pray his burden flushes through every vein in your body. His calling. He's not sorry he called you. And he's not repentant. Lord, may your spirit soar in his life. May he bring others to freedom, I pray. Thinking that your life, you don't need anybody else, that's a lie. It is a lie from the devil. Thinking that you can truly be religious and not bridle your tongue, that is a lie from the devil. Ways you deceive yourself, you exalt your very will above God. And it's called will worship. What do you mean by that? By your own will, you determine to serve the Lord. You are determined to serve out by not using the grace of God. And you determine in your heart, that you're going to do it. And you know what? It works for a little while, and then the boom, it crashes. And you realize it's not by your will that you serve the Lord. It's by the grace of God. And you've exalted your will above the grace of God, and it only gets you so far. And it's not the armor of God that God wants to place in your life. He wants you to work and live in his grace and in his power by his spirit. You've exalted your will above the grace of God. That's deception. These things need to be renounced. They need to be put to rest. The Bible says, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. How do you get freedom in Christ? You realize things are in your heart that shouldn't be there. You confess them to the Lord, and he sets you free. And you repent of them, you turn away from them, and you go the opposite direction. And you no longer let that be part of your life. That's what I'm asking you to do today. Consider it pure joy. He holds all the trials in his hands. He knows the times and the seasons of your life. Consider it pure joy. I've already settled it in my heart. I'm not moving. Consider it pure joy. I'm not letting go of the one who's put his hand on me. Consider it pure joy. I will not be a double-minded, double-souled, double-hearted person. Because a person who has singleness of focus, that's the person who gets their prayers answered. That's the person who has power and favor with God. David wasn't anything special in the Old Testament. He passionately served the Lord. He just believed everything that God said would come to pass. And he did it. Passionately. He saw the lion, he ran after the lion. He saw the bear, he attacked the bear. When Goliath came, he just did what he knew. He ran after the giant. Passionately served the Lord. When the ark came, nobody danced more than David. Nobody danced. He was even chided for it. He said, I did it before the Lord. And I'll even do it. Now become more undignified than this. You want your freedom this morning? You want freedom? You've got to renounce this deception in your life. There is nothing good outside of God's plan for your life. That's a lie from the devil that says you need to go and run and do this and you need to hurry up and all that stuff. Hurry is of the devil. God says, stand. Stand. You don't need to run over here, run over there, do all these things. Stand. Be still and know that I am God. That's what he says. You want freedom this morning? There is freedom in this place for you. Let's just denounce these things, these thoughts. If these thoughts have been in your mind, if these thoughts have taken root in your mind, there's an altar. We're going to pray these off and we're going to go in freedom. And we're not going to hold these again. Amen? Amen? If you're here this morning and you've never, ever given your heart to the Lord, you've heard the message of God, you know about Jesus, but you've never said in your heart, Jesus, I want you to be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords in my life. Jesus, I want you to take my life, own my life, and I'm going to live for you. I am no longer going to live for myself. I'm going to live for you. If you've never prayed that prayer and you want to do that this morning, Reuben, I'm going to have you stand over there in the corner. Meet Reuben over there. He's qualified. He knows what he's doing. He will introduce you to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and he will pray a prayer with you, and he will set you in the right direction. Amen. I'm going to ask the musicians come forward. If that's what you guys normally do, I don't know. Okay, great. Let's stand. I'm serious. There's freedom here for you. Are you serious? I'm dead serious. I will walk through this with you. It doesn't matter. God wants you free. He doesn't want you thinking these things anymore. He doesn't want his church deceived. He wants you free. Father, we just come before you right now. Father, Lord, I pray each and every person here would have the courage and the guts to come forward, renounce these things in their life, and be set free by you, O God. I pray you clear them, O God. I pray you empower them. Lord, your word says that the grace of God has been revealed, and it teaches us to say no to ungodliness. We thank you for your grace, O God. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for what you're doing here this morning. We thank you for calling your people forward. We thank you for highlighting these things in our lives, Lord, these things that separate us from you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, O God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, O God. Praise you, O God. Praise you, Lord. Just come forward and we'll pray with you.